Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. Welcome to the What to Read Next podcast. In this podcast, your host, Lori and me, will invite a bookish guest to share their favorite book recommendation. If you share a passion for books and always looking for your next read, then join us. Welcome to the What to Read Next podcast. Today's bookish guest is Senior Director of Publicity and Brand Development at HarperCollins, Pam Jaffe, and Kaylee Webb, publicist at HarperCollins. Hi, Pam. Hi, Kaylee.
Hey, Laura. How are you today?
Hi.
Thank you for having us on.
Oh, I'm so excited to chat with both of you. I love all your titles, so I'm excited to hear all about what's coming up. So first things first, Pam, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Okay. I have been at HarperCollins, frankly, forever. I don't even want to give the age count at this point. I live about 30 miles north of New York City. I have four cats, a dog. My daughter has a lizard, so I guess that's my grand lizard, two kids, and a husband. And I used to be able to read 4 hours a day on my commute to HarperCollins. And I will say that my entire reading life was disrupted with the change to no commute this year. So the biggest thing for me this year has been learning to make time for reading in new and interesting ways, which is important because I usually read, as most people who are super fans do, upward of 7 books a week. So, So now I'm doing it at home and not on a train, and it's not as quiet. That's my takeaway. That's what this year has brought.
Oh my gosh. Yes. I can identify. I used to read on my commute and that doesn't exist anymore. I work from home. So it's like finding new interesting ways to get the reading done. So.
Right? Middle of the night. That's what it's turning into, like 3 a.m. reading time.
Yeah, pretty much. So how about you, Kaylee? Tell us a little bit about yourself.
All right. So I'm Kaylee, and I've been with HarperCollins and on the Avon team for 3 years this past August. Currently, I live in Brooklyn, but I am originally from a small town of 2200 in Mississippi. I live with my partner of 10 years and a very persnickety tuxedo cat named Yuri, who is a huge fan of watching author events with me, which I absolutely adore. Let's see. I have also realized that my reading has changed during the pandemic as well. I've actually been drawn more to print books, and I've been such an e-reader for so long. And so whenever Animal Crossing isn't taking up all of my time, I have been diving into all of my old favorites from my teenage years, as well as reading backlists for authors I really love. So it's been a lot of comfort reads, which have been great.
I love this. Yeah, I think it makes sense to just go for the comfort as opposed to, you know, doing the things that's like a little bit outside of your comfort zone. Like, just comforting reading is a good time.
Yeah, I've been reading a lot of Ann Stewart, who I would say is the author that really like awakened my love of romance, as crazy pants and wonderful as they are.
I love this. So let's talk about your day-to-day. Like, what do you love about your job? And Pam, you can go first.
What's interesting about my job is that every year for 16 years, it has changed. So this year, we were gearing up to host our annual Giant Reader Convention. We were just weeks away. We were in that final hall of boxes and grids and getting ready to ship. And the world changed. And we went from kind of 50-50 split, where we're 50% publicity, 50% brand, which is brand is actually in publishing direct communication with the reader in some fashion or format, to completely publicity. So it's been kind of fun to double down on books and have more time to reach out to media, you know, take opportunities like this one where we might have been running around amok getting ready for the next conference or the next KissCon. and really dig down and get some new and interesting opportunities for authors. So this year has kind of been a reversion back to the very, very, very beginning, but it's also been an interesting year of reset and kind of relearning the PR skills, you know, that I love so much and brought me into the field in the first place.
I love this. And how about you, Kaylee?
Well, my day, I feel like, changes day by day. Publicity gives so many opportunities for growth and just really cool things. Like, I've done everything from pitching books to learning web design to create the KissCon Weekend Affair website that unfortunately we weren't able to have this year, as well as just really connecting with readers. The thing I love most about my job is the fact that I get to champion and cheerlead along these authors who are either brand new debuts or they're these long, well-loved romance authors, and just finding new opportunities for them. And really, working remote has taught me a lot about myself as a publicist and has awakened a lot of new skills that I am really looking forward to continue growing as I get to focus more on book campaigns instead of like convention prep and stuff. So it's been incredibly exciting just connecting with new media and new readers and just discovering just how PR works in this new world that we're in. Everything changed, and right now people need books, and that's what I love. I get to bring them what can bring them comfort and joy. So everyone ends with a happily ever after. So that's what I would say. My job is the ultimate dream. I love working in romance. And if you would have told me 10 years ago I would be working in romance, I would have laughed in your face, because it was my deep dark secret that my parents made fun of me for. So I am so, like, so thrilled just to be able to have access to everything HarperCollins gives. Avon really does have amazing, amazing lists.
And here, Laura, I have a question for you, actually. I'm going to flip it around, because something that this year has brought to us has been virtual events. And I want to hear from you. How are you enjoying virtual events? Because to set up, they are timely, and we want to make sure that, you know, the tech is perfect and they've got a theme and they're fun. And it's not just the same talking head events all the time, because we feel like people are getting bored. So we want to hear from you about how you're liking virtual events.
So I absolutely adore them. I think it's a great way to connect with authors that I didn't think it was like, that I was like, oh, I'm hesitant about trying their books. And then hearing the authors speak about their book or share about the book, it was definitely one of the things where I was like, oh, I'm definitely buying this book and reading them. And then discovering new authors to read backlist. That was something really important about virtual events. The other part is that I really enjoy your KissCon events that are virtual, the karaoke, and just I don't remember the other event that you guys had. They were like unique enough. They were fun. And it was fun to chat with my friends who live in California, and we're both attending the same event. And so it was a great way to connect with other readers as well as connecting with authors. And I think that's like creates a community that Romancelandia, you know, has been able to build. And it's just like, it hides that emotion.
Right. And, you know, it's such a joy to us to work on those events and to spend time with you guys, even though we're running around with boxes and basically look like crazy chickens. So I'm hoping we can get back to that, but I'd like to figure out some way to create that sense of community in virtual reality.
Yes. Yes. I think it's interesting. Like, I found certain places, certain pockets for the community's been building. And so it's been nice to connect with other people. Like, actually, I moved to Chicago 2 weeks prior to the pandemic. So I haven't seen real life people in about, I don't know, however long we've been shut down. So it's been fun to make friends in Romancelandia thanks to these events and thanks to the different communities. So we're like, oh, let's talk about romance. And then just connecting with those people and then seeing like friendships blossom. So, which has been fine.
And it's interesting. You know, I'm going back. First off, I talked to the ladies from Love Sweet Arrow yesterday in the Chicago suburbs. Just so you know, they're open. So if you're like looking for community, their doors are open and they're there to chat and wear your mask, but you know,
yeah, Yeah, so I need to venture out to them. They came to the show and I need to connect with them. But it's been fun too, because I love their virtual events that they've been doing. That's been like my Friday night, mm-hmm. you know, that's been like fun. They're on YouTube, they're easy to watch. You know, I can watch them afterwards if I want to. So it's been fun to see, you know, and then buying the books from them. It's been kind of like just being able to support them too.
They're so great. I'm so glad that they exist.
Yes, me too.
Chicago is so lucky. You have so, see, I'm hijacking this. Sorry. You have you have so many romance friendly bookstores. Do you realize how lucky you are to have so many romance friendly bookstores? I mean, Women and Children First, 57th Street. You've got Love Sweet Arrow. You've got Anderson's. I don't think there is another city that has the density of romance-friendly bookstores that Chicago does, and it's fabulous.
Thank you for sharing those bookstores, because I'm like, I've been planning to do like one of those like local like indie bookstore scavenger hunt, just basically go to visit, spend a day visiting a bunch of bookstores. And so thank you for sharing a few bookstores that are not on my radar that should be on my radar. You know, it's fun. It's definitely fun. I moved from New York. So I was in New York for 14 years. And then just moved to Chicago. It's been like an interesting shock to the system. So.
Oh my God. You got there and then you quarantined basically in the middle of a Chicago winter.
Yeah, oof. Pretty much.
Sorry about that. One way to break into the climate.
It's all good. So we shall see. So awesome. So let's talk about what it's like from your end working with book reviewers and bookstagrammers, what things they should know about in terms of working with Avon or Harper Boyer and like HarperCollins, like, you know, tips and tricks or things that they should know about.
So I absolutely love working with bookstagrammers and reviewers. I just think the enthusiasm they have is just wonderful, and they produce such beautiful, beautiful work.
Agreed. Oh my God, the artistry. Okay, sorry.
Like, I am stunned. I have tried many times to make my own bookstagram, and I just could not match the perfection of some of the posts I see. Mm-hmm. Tips I would share is sometimes I notice that spine photos, though they can fill a lot, titles are often like lost because the text can be very small. So I am very much a fan of the forward facing covers. Mm-hmm. And the descriptions are just pour your love for this book and your true thoughts into your descriptions and your enthusiasm. And when you're reaching out, tell me what you want to do with this book on your Instagram or on your blog. Mm-hmm. Tell me what you're thinking and your ideas so we can build off those and make your content even better than it could be than just getting a book, reading it, and writing a review or taking a photo. But I absolutely adore working with both bloggers and bookstagrammers, because they just really are passionate and their artistry they evolve so much, because my timeline, I follow a lot of bookstagrammers and a lot of people in my personal life, but my feed is always beautiful photos that showcase Avon books or romances from other publishers. And it just really fills my heart with joy, because I have bought tons of books based off bookstagram posts. And so I know that these photos and their reviews really do inspire people to chase these new titles, and they're introduced to these new authors. So I love it. And then also for book reviewers and bookstagrammers, keep us updated with your numbers as they change. Mm-hmm. We want to know, and we want to update our system, because some categories that books fall in, they have higher, you have to have higher view counts or higher subscribers or followers. And we want to make sure we have all of the data we need, like updated email addresses, updated addresses, updated numbers, just so we can make sure that you're considered for a title, because And I think that's really effective. Just update me with the data. Shoot me an email. Say, hey,
I'll add to that. There's only so many titles. We get hundreds of requests for a lot of the key books. And there's only so many requests that we can give. So you can't give out 1,000 copies of a book prior to pub. Like, the editor would literally kill us. So we're forced to kind of make love matches. A lot of it's based on the passion of the reviewer and the bookstagrammer. Like Kaylee said, it might be the reach numbers or special plans they have. It may be that we just have built up a great trusting relationship with that person. But the worst thing to do is to kind of email back and back and back and back and back. And we've gotten this too. Why not me? Why didn't you give one to me? You gave one to this person who has less followers. And that to me is like, well, maybe I have a great relationship with the person with less followers. Maybe they're a friend of the author, but I have a quota of books that I'm planning to give away in advance of publication. And it's not that we mean to dish you in any way, shape, or form. It's just that each publicist, and each book has a different publicist, makes those decisions individually. And they may choose different bookstagrammers or reviewers to give the book to. So there's never going to be a list of like 500 bookstagrammers and reviewers who automatically get every book. And I wish there were, but that's, you know.
Yeah, I know. It's a tough juggle. You know, what gets approved, what doesn't get approved, and, you know, the whole process. But, you know, bookstagrammers also can use the library, can use different places where you can get the books, you know. So it's not just because you don't get it ahead of time, you can still read it when it comes out. So
exactly. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah. Yeah. I realize that, like, for me, it's like not, you know, I'm appreciative for the arcs and that I get and all the different things. But the reality is that there's so many backlist titles that I want to reach to. And so there's so much reading time I have available. So I can't accept it all, you know. So it's part of it. Yeah. It's like, you know, you can get audio when it comes out, where it's like sometimes that's easier to binge the book than just read the arc, you know. So
how many books do you read in a given week?
5 to 7.
Okay, so we're around the same place.
Yeah, it's I used to read more, and then there are months where I've been like really a lot of reading, and then there are books that I'm like, their months are like not that good. But right now I'm averaging about 5 to 7 books a week. So yeah.
Cool.
Awesome. So let's talk about book recommendations and Avon titles. So mass market needs some love, you know.
Of course.
So let's talk about some mass market titles that are coming up or that have come out in this past year.
And here's where Kaylee and I, you have to see how our brains work as a team, because I can reel off the author and what the book is about, and Kaylee will tell you in like 32 seconds what the title is, because I can never remember.
Okay. I love this.
This is a fun game.
It is a fun game.
There we go.
I mean, first and foremost, I have to give a shout out to Daring and the Duke. I think Sarah McLean deserves all the props for how she, you know, concluded the Bare Knuckles Bastards, and they were fabulous. So that's kind of a must read, like, woman forward book. But we're talking about KissCon, right? And at the last KissCon, Vivian Leroy met with readers and they convinced her to do a specific plot of a book that she was worried about. Like, she wanted to do a retelling of Tarzan. And Kaylee will tell you the title of the book, but she wrote this really, it's freaking hysterical. The opening scene of this book is such like saucy slapstick comedy that it was insane. And if someone hasn't picked up a Vivian Leroy, they should. Kaylee, pop quiz.
I am actually, oh my gosh, is this the, you just made me blank. If you're a fan of Julia Quinn though, I highly recommend Viv Leroy. One second. Oh my gosh, is it?
It's not Lord Holt. It's My Kind of Earl.
My Kind of Earl. There we go.
Ha, I just win the point. Laura, I'm 1 point up. I'm 1 point up.
You're 1 point up.
And then I'm just trying to think. There's so many good books. I think everyone should read the Reykas.
Scarlett's
gotten a lot of feedback on the cover, good and bad. Like, Scarlett designed that cover. That was her idea to like upend the classic like Fabio Clinch cover.
So good.
But she as not modern as the cover was, as modern and not modern as the cover was. And that's the feedback I've got, where people are like over the moon about this cover. What's inside those covers? Oh my God, this book changes everything.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Agree.
Eva Lee.
Yes.
Anything,
so good.
Anything. So Kaylee, do you have a favorite Eva Lee from the year?
Oh my gosh. I loved My Fake Rake so much. Me too. that entire series I have just adored, because I am a huge John Hughes fan. Mm-hmm. And the fact that she took all of these movies and were able to weave themes and little tidbits into historical romance just really, like, really made me giddy and excited. And I really can't wait to see what she continues to do as she continues writing, because Eva Lee is just, she's just absolutely incredible. And she's probably one of my favorite historical authors right now.
Of course. She's so good. And I'm going to give like shout outs to Tracy Livesey, who's written some great new contemporaries. Joanna Shoup is so hot and upcoming. Like, everyone should be reading Joanna Shoup. And then I think everyone is very excited for the new Alyssa Cole that's coming out in just a month.
Yep. On 12/1, we'll have How to Catch a Queen, which spins off the Reluctant Royals, and it's going to be huge. It's already received 3-star reviews. Buzz is crazy for it. Another mass market I am super excited about on the historical side is Cheris Michaels, a Duchess of Day. She's making her print debut and jumping off the Avon Impulse list. And so a Duchess of Day is, the series is a spin on all of our favorite fairy tales, and it's giving the side characters their happily ever after. And so A Duchess of Day is actually a spin on Snow White, and it involves the huntsman of Snow White. And it's just so, so delightful. I love Cheris's novels. Julia Quinn is a huge fan of her. And I really think if you love historicals, you need to be reading Cheris, because she's going to be huge as she continues on with her career.
I love this. And then let's see. Right now I am working on Wild Rain, which is the newest historical from Bev Jenkins. And that is out That's out on 2/9, February 9th. Mm-hmm. And what's interesting about this is they take place in the Wyoming territory during the Reconstruction. Mm-hmm. And women had unparalleled rights in Wyoming during this period. I mean, voting rights, homestead owning rights. It was very liberated as far as, you know, the heroine of the novel is, what is she? I forget which tribe she is, but she's Native American and Black, and she owns her own stead, and she is the alpha heroine. And Bev finally has written a cinnamon roll hero on it. But the history of the book is so uplifting and real that it's just phenomenal.
Oh my gosh, I can't wait.
Just let me know. I'll send you the e-galley.
I'm excited. Oh my gosh, yes. I'm excited for that. I love cinema role heroes. So
he's everything. He's everything. Bev literally does not write them. So she's like, I can't believe I did this, but that's just how it turned out. I'm like, oh. Sometimes they do.
I love that so much.
I know what I'm reading next.
Yeah. So let's talk about anticipated new releases. Which title should be in the lookout for?
Oh my God, Laura, my list.
Oh my God.
My list. So big. Okay. All right. So I wish I could tell you that I don't have a list that goes from like now until August, but I would be lying.
I know.
I think everybody needs to pick up James Bailey. I know that's odd. It's coming out next month. The Flip Side. It's a rom-com, an actual rom-com written by an actual male. And it's not like Nick Hornsby, and it's not like Nicholas Sparks. It's a rom-com, and it's getting really good reviews. Jenny Holiday has written A Princess for Christmas, which is just the sweetest hot chocolate, like Cocoa Fest read. You know, it's just like perfect for the holidays. Then we're going forward. I Can't Talk Enough About Spoiler Alert, which is actually one of Kaylee's books, so she should probably cut me off here for a second.
Oh my gosh. Spoiler Alert is just, It gives me so many feelings that it's hard to even express it, because just the cover alone has made so many women feel seen. Like me, myself, I never read a romance growing up that featured a woman like me. And then I see this beautiful cover and I'm like, wow, that woman is like me. And this book was just named a Bustle Best Book of 2020. It has been covered absolutely everywhere. And it's inspired cosplays. It's Olivia Dade is the author of my heart, and I cannot wait for Slow Burn. If you are a Game of Thrones fan, if you love fan fiction, fandom, rom-coms, anything like that, pick up Spoiler Alert. It's just, it's everything. That's all I can say.
It is. It is. It's so good. It is everything. It is so good. Going forward, the books that I've just picked up and read, like I said, I don't work on all these as the publicist, but I'm the publicity director, so I read them all. I have Love, Second, First Impressions by Sally Thorne. I picked it up, and I don't know, it was just a very different read from her, and I'll be interested to get other, you know, when the publicist gets other people's feedbacks, but it was lovely. Act Your Age, Eve Brown. It's always troublesome for me to have a trope where you start off not liking the heroine, but no one can write this type of story better than Talia Hibbert. So Eve Brown grows up, and, you know, the relationship and the self and the growth. I think this is why rom-coms are resonating now. We talk about mass market love, but rom-coms are appealing to a younger audience who this growth is the important part of the journey, you know, as much as the HEA, it's like the personal growth. And I think they're going to get all the feels. I just started on Sense and Sensibility, which is the newest Sonali Dev, and that'll be out this summer. And if you love the West Wing, this is kind of like a multicultural take on the West Wing. And as comforting as that, I feel like people are reverting to the West Wing right now as a comfort watch. And then, oh my goodness, there's so many. I do want to kind of like throw it over to Kaylee to talk a little bit about the upcoming Cat Sebastian and the upcoming Olivia Waite, which I think people need to know about too.
Okay, so the upcoming Cat Sebastian is called The Queer Principles of Kid Webb, and it's actually going to be her trade paperback debut and have an incredible illustrated cover. And this book follows a highwayman who, let me see, he falls in love. I cannot remember the other character right now, but I haven't had the chance to read it yet, but it's going to be.
But the other character gets hurt, and I guess he's a rector or something. Oh, it's a highwayman and like a rector, I think. And he takes him back home and like cares, right?
Right, that is exactly right.
And their love grows. And, you know, it's a coming out story as much as like a growing love story. And it's just, I can't wait.
It's the best Cat yet. Yes, it's an aristocrat and a reformed highwayman.
There you go.
And they are planning, they want to do a robbery as well. So it's going to be incredible. Now, the new Olivia Waite, I actually am not incredibly familiar with.
Okay, well then I'm going to intercede for a second, and I'm just going to give a heads up, something people may not know. Everyone is overwhelmed with excitement for Christmas Day this year, right? Everyone wants to see Bridgerton. We can't wait for Bridgerton. But people may not know that come this summer, yes, you know, Julie has a new book coming out, yay, but she's also coming out with a graphic novel. And I think people will be surprised to learn that Miss Butterworth and the Mad Baron is going to be a standalone graphic novel. And it is actually based upon, you know, a continuing theme in the Bridgerton books going along. So that will be out in June. And that's something completely new and different for us.
That is really exciting. Oh my gosh.
It is. I'm actually going to jump back in with the Olivia Waite. So in May, we'll have Hellion's Waltz, which is the final romance in her Women in Pursuit series with Impulse. And so the heroines of this story couldn't be more different. One is a woman who is trying to start fresh after a con man has stolen her family's piano shop, and her love interest, Maddie, ends up being someone who is trying to get one big store and one big heist because she wants to fund a weaver's union. And so they start to fall in love, and they join forces to get this money. And so that's the secret, because Maddie is keeping this from her. So it's going to be absolutely fantastic, as all of Olivia's books are. She really is incredible, and she's gotten rave reviews and is truly beloved.
All right. Oh my gosh. And then hang on, two more. We're not done yet.
Yeah.
I mean, so much more than two more, but that, you know how long the publishing process takes, right? So we acquired two books about a year and a half ago in an open call, and they're finally coming out this summer. One is Low Country Bride by Presleza Williams. And then we have Happy Endings by Tian Kim Lam. And you might know her from Body Bookworms. She's the proprietress of Body Bookworms. So she also owns a sex toy company of her own, as does the hero of Happy Ending, or heroine of Happy Ending. So they are both, you know, own voices, BIPOC, really beautiful tales. Presleza is, okay, I'm very bad. I don't watch TV, so I have no like center of reference point, but Presleza was a child star. And Kiwi, remind me, it was
the strange time, Shelby Wu. I believe.
Yeah, it was Shelby
The Mystery Wu. Files of Shelby Wu. That's what it was. 1998, I remember. Nickelodeon. Oh, gosh.
You know, and then of course, everyone's going to want to know that Lisa Kleypas is forthcoming in August, with Devil in Disguise. So I think that's going to be on everybody's wish list.
Yes, that will be on everyone's wish list for sure.
And then one more, hang on. I just want to ask everyone to take a look at Suzanne Park. She's new to our list.
Yes.
Loathe at First Sight came out this year, and I think it's one of the best and strongest romance debuts I've read in a very long time. So she'll be following that up with So We Meet Again in August as well. So really some forward planning, but I want to put Suzanne Park onto some people's radars.
Yes, I had Suzanne Park. We did an IGTV live for Loathe at First Sight, and I was so excited, and I love her book. So I'm excited for her upcoming book, and just, you know, continue to, for her to be discovered by new audiences.
I mean, I just think she's gold. She's absolute gold.
She is. So what has been a book that you read this past year you can't stop gushing about?
Oh my God, that's such a hard question.
I know.
Said that. And I was like, how do I even start? I mean, would it be Emerald Blaze for me? I love Alona Andrews more than life. So, you know, unfortunately, it sparked a complete reread of everything else she's ever written.
Yeah.
You know, first the Hidden Legacy stories, and then Kate Daniels, and then Innkeeper. And I was just like, oh, Jesus Christ. So that was like 2 weeks of my summer. Thank you, Alona.
A good 2 weeks.
It was a great 2 weeks, but it completely derailed my work reading.
Yeah.
I really cannot stop gushing about Written in the Stars by Alexandria Belfler. It's coming out on November 10th. If you love Hallmark movies, this is the book for you. It feels like a hug, and the characters are so likable, and the way they go from complete opposites to just a couple that really works is just, the journey is amazing. And there are so many fun things in this book, like an escape room date. I've never seen an escape room date done in a romance. And that was just so fun to see these two heroines work together and how their thought processes kind of link up. And it's just absolutely great. One heroine runs a social media astrology account that is pairing with Darcy, who is this very, very uptight actuary's brother, is actually the owner, and he pairs them up for a disastrous blind date. And it's just incredible. Fake relationship, all the good tropey stuff that you absolutely love. And then another I have to throw in, which is completely different, but more on the Ilona Andrews side, because she was actually mentored by Ilona Andrews and they're very good friends, is Jesse Mihalik's Chaos Reigning. It's the final installment in the Consortium Rebellion trilogy, and holy space, it's amazing. It's interstellar is the pun I wanted to make.
If you love Amanda Boucher, you'll be over the moon about Jesse Mihalik.
Oh my gosh. If you love Firefly, Stargate, like it's got high heat, amazing action, like the political intrigue. It's just so much fun. And I really cannot wait for her next series with us. If you want escapism, the Consortium Rebellion series. The first one is Polaris Rising. Pick them up. I promise you will not be disappointed.
I love this. Well, I had to tell you, Written the Stars, I read it really early on and it's still by far one of my best books for 2020. I absolutely adore it. It was like, I'm always looking for female romance, and this was just like hit the spot. So.
Well, if you're one more, hang on. We're going to a new book. Because they're not really linked, but they're kind of, I'm going in a different direction here altogether. But have I sent you First Comes Like yet? The new Alicia Rye?
No.
Okay,
no.
I have to get you that, Callie. Really, it gave me hives because, okay, as I said, I've been working at HarperCollins forever. So, and I have a 17-year-old daughter, so I'm getting ready to send a kid to college. The heroine is 29 and she feels like she's kind of reaching the end of her career as an influencer because she's getting too old, and which made me completely, completely depressed about my age. But it's just a really interesting story. There's like a catfishing element, which has been happening across books. It was just part of, you know, a plot component in the Jen DeLuca book that came out.
Yeah.
But it was interesting to read a book from the perspective of a social media influencer, as we're on the, you know, on a call with you right now.
Yeah.
And honestly, the popularity, like the type of fame of a social media influencer, as opposed to the type of fame of a big Bollywood star, and how they're both like these, you know, they're incandescent in their own realms. But it was just it's a sweet romance. So Alicia Rye wrote a sweet romance. And it's just, it's one of the best things that she's ever written. And I love it so much. I love it to death. But the 29-year-old influencer who's like sad that she was getting too old. I was like, Alicia, killed me dead.
Oh my gosh. I love Alicia. I love her Girl Gone Viral, and the fact that she went viral too around the same time. It was like parallel universe. Yeah.
I literally might call with her. I'm like, you're not cake pop gating me again this time, right? Like, it's going to be a little calmer. And she's like, I can't promise anything. Like,
she's doing amazing on TikTok. I have to tell you, she's like on her game. So
I know she's amazing.
She is.
I don't think she sleeps.
No, I don't think so either. But I love her book, so this is awesome. So tell us where you can find you online.
I'm very secretive.
Okay, that's fine.
I'm not secretive. I used to be very active on Twitter until like January 4th, 2016. And I have been taking, as Kaylee will tell you, a prolonged break from Twitter. But I'm expecting to be back on Twitter quite shortly, at least hopefully. Fingers crossed. But honestly, I am very much on Facebook. I'm connected to everyone on Facebook. I'm trying to get better on Instagram. And my tags are always Pam Jaffe, 2 F's, 2 E's.
Yeah.
I must say that I spend most of my time between Twitter and Instagram. I'm very easy to find. My username is actually my name without any vowels. So just take all of the vowels out of Kaylee Webb and you'll find me. So that's KYLGHWBB.
Oh, that's easy. Sure, sure.
Yeah. So easy.
That just rolls off the brain right there.
Well, someone in 2010 created at Kaylee Webb and they've never tweeted. So I couldn't have it. And I'm still very bitter about that. But on Twitter, I talk about everything from books to Korean theater to American theater politics, comic books, the whole shebang. So if you want to fangirl about everything, find me on Twitter. And then my Instagram is just very hipster pictures of Brooklyn life and a lot of stories about my cat doing something. So a lot of fun.
I love this. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Of course. Thank you for having us.
If you enjoyed this podcast, feel free to share with friends, subscribe, rate, and review the show. This is the easiest way to support this podcast. Once you connect with fellow romance readers and make new friends, get weekly book recommendations, attend monthly meetups, then join our Patreon community. You can join at whatreadnextblog.com/Patreon. Romance lovers, check out Queen Bee Reads Etsy shop for cute and comfortable bookish apparel. The shop also features social justice apparel and fun items from some of your favorite TV shows like The Schitt's Creek and The Office. Use code WHATTORead10 to save. Visit whatreadnextblog.com/queenbeereads. What to Read Next podcast is part of the Frolic Podcast Network. Discover new podcasts to love on frolic.media/podcast. Thank you so much for listening and have a great day.
Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What to Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whatreadnextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.